It was late fall. I always look forward to this time of year because of the nice weather. Halloween was also one of my favorite holidays, given all the horror movies to watch and fun decorations to put up. This was the day after Halloween, though. I had the day off of work, but I was pretty exhausted from a party I went to last night, so today I just wanted to relax and get a few things done around the house. My plan didn't exactly go as planned, though. I lay down for a nap around 2 o'clock and never set an alarm. It wasn't until there was a ring at my doorbell that I woke up. I groggily opened my eyes and looked at my phone. It was 9 p.m. I immediately sat up, frustrated at myself for wasting the whole day napping, but I was quickly interrupted by the doorbell again. I got out of bed and put a sweatshirt on, then walked downstairs and up to the door. Looking out the peephole, I didn't see anything, so I opened the door. No one was out there. I did answer the door really late, so I thought they probably just walked away. However, just as I was closing the door, I saw someone. They were standing just 20 yards away, near a tree in my front yard, and they had a mask on. Like one of those generic ones you could get at any Halloween shop. They were looking right at me, though. I thought it was just a kid playing a prank, so I just closed the door. I went to the bathroom and splashed some water on my face to wake myself up, then headed to the kitchen to do some dishes and clean up. I was in there for probably around 10 minutes when I heard someone's voice. It was very muffled and from somewhere outside. I turned around and looked at the back door, and just barely, I could see someone walking in my backyard. It looked like they were just passing through, until they started coming back around toward my house. They were walking just outside the reach of my back porch light, kind of like they were trying not to be seen. From what I could see, though, it looked like they were alone, so I wasn't sure why I'd heard someone talking. Once they got closer, I heard their footsteps walk along the side of my house. I tried to follow the sound, but suddenly lost them. It was quiet, no voices or footsteps. As I stood there and listened intently, I began turning my head in different directions, just trying to catch any sound I could. But when I looked back toward the back door, someone was staring right at me. My whole body froze. They were wearing that same Halloween mask, but it was someone else. This person was noticeably bigger and taller than the other one.
"What the hell are you guys doing?"
I yelled, hoping that if it was kids, then maybe they'd be intimidated easily. It certainly didn't work. They moved away from the door and around the opposite side of the house. Just as I was going to follow them, I heard a crack behind me, followed by footsteps sprinting away. Right where I heard the sound from, there was a window, and when I lifted the blinds, I could clearly see the outer part of the wooden window sill had been split off. They were clearly trying to break it open quietly, while I was distracted by the other person at the back door. Once they blew their cover, they ran. And after quickly figuring all of this out, I ran upstairs and called 911. I wasn't sure if they'd fully given up yet, but knowing they were trying to break in, with me inside, I wasn't taking any chances on what they may or may not do. They didn't seem to try anything else, though. Cops showed up and took down my report, but even to this day, there hasn't been anything else on what happened. With Halloween coming up pretty soon this year, I'm definitely a little nervous about a possible second attempt. I'll update if anything happens. I was camping with a friend of mine in rural Washington. I'll call him Chase. We were way out at a camping spot that we found on an app. It was the middle of fall, so it was pretty cold, but there's just no other time of the year that the forests look this good. The spot was empty, too. It was just Chase and I, which made for a relaxing time for us to catch up with each other. The first night we spent there went well. It got a little chilly while sleeping, but it was manageable. In the morning, we hiked up to a small nearby peak that had an overlook. The hike took us around 3 hours, so we got back to our campsites at about noon. When we did, there was someone else there. He was standing near Chase's tent and kind of just looking at it. Chase called out and said hello as we walked up. The guy turned and looked at us, clearly a bit startled for some reason, and instead of saying something, he just hurried away. If it wasn't already strange, it definitely was now. We both immediately went to our tents and checked if all our gear was still there and if anything had been messed with, but neither of us found anything. Maybe we got there before he was able to take anything, but still, it was really odd. We couldn't see any other reason for him to be here if he wasn't camping. We weren't really nervous though. Both of us assumed that there was no chance the guy would come back. I mean, he looked terrified when he saw us. However, we still played it safe and didn't want to leave our tents again, so we stayed in the area for the rest of the day. We had a few beers and just talked. When the sun went down, we built up a campfire and made some s'mores. We enjoyed our time around the fire for a couple of hours. In the middle of one of our talks, though, Chase had to take a leak, so he got up and went a little ways into the woods. I sat back, but only a few seconds later, he came walking quickly into the campsite.
"You have trouble out there,"
I joked.
"There was someone there."
I could immediately see on his face that he was clearly unnerved. Quickly dropping my joking attitude, I stood up and asked exactly what he saw. But Chase said he couldn't really see anything other than the outline of the man. He said he wasn't very far though, and was definitely looking at him. This really freaked us out. They could have been watching us this whole time, and probably still were right now. Both of us went into our backpacks and got flashlights, but now he was gone. We went back to the campfire, but stayed on watch, checking the woods around us with our flashlights. Chase seemed to be sure that it was the same person we saw at our camp earlier, so why the hell did he come back? Both of us were pretty on edge. We discussed if maybe we should leave. Even though it was dark out, maybe it was safer just to get out of there. Chase brought up the fact that if the man wanted to rob us, he would have done it earlier when we were gone, and he definitely would not have come back. So he thinks the man was up to something worse. We stashed everything in our backpacks, then stomped out the fire and started back down the trail. For the first few minutes, we tried to hurry to gain some distance in case he was following us. On the whole walk back, we never caught sight of him. We thought we were in the clear, but when we made it up to the trailhead and to my car, all the tires had been slashed. My heart sank as this basically confirmed that the man was probably planning to never let us leave. We were only just able to process the situation before we heard leaves crunching on the trail behind us. We jumped in my car and drove away without hesitation. I was able to get us out of the woods and onto the main road, destroying my wheels in the process. From there, we called a tow truck and the police. They tried to search for fingerprints on the car to identify the man with, but he didn't even try to break inside it or even open the doors. He just slashed the tires. His intentions are still unknown. But I'm sure we can all assume the few disturbing likely outcomes that he had planned for that night. Four years ago, in late October, I picked up a new job at a gas station. My friends were throwing a big Halloween party on the 31st, but because of when I got hired, I didn't have any vacation time, so unfortunately, I had to work that night. At least I had most of the day to hand out candy and watch some movies, though. I went into work at 8. The streets were pretty quiet, at least of cars, since kids were running around trick-or-treating, so I hoped the gas station wouldn't be busy. Thankfully, I got what I wished for. Only a couple dozen cars came in my first hour, and once it got closer to 10, even less were coming by. Even the roads weren't busy. I kept seeing a police car patrolling the road every 15 minutes, but aside from that, it was dead outside. I was fine with it being slow, but scrolling through my phone and seeing everyone else having fun on Halloween night was a little depressing, so I grabbed some boxes from the back of stuff to refill on the shelves. Another little while passed, and as my back was to the front door, I heard the little bell go off. I turned around and saw three men walking into the shop. They were all wearing Halloween costumes, like full costumes with masks and everything. One of them was dressed up as Michael Myers, but the other two I didn't recognize, probably some other typical Halloween characters. I could tell immediately they weren't kids though. They were grown adults. One of them even had a long beard sticking out from under the mask and had tattoos going up his neck. I greeted them, but aside from a quick glance, they didn't acknowledge me. Maybe they were just trying to be in character or something. I don't know, but it was already weird that they kept the masks on. I left the aisle and went around to the checkout counter while I waited for them to grab what they needed. I noticed there weren't any cars outside though, which explained why I didn't hear them pull in. I watched them look around for a minute at the candy aisle. Then they picked up a bag of Dum Dum lollipops and tossed them on the counter.
"Find everything you needed?"
They didn't say anything. I rang it up and told them the total. They paid in cash. As I was doing the transaction though, I couldn't help but notice one of them in the back staring at me. Through the mask, I could only see his eyes, but they were locked on me and looked frustrated or angry or something. It made me really uncomfortable. I finished up and told them to have a good night. There was a pause though, before one of the men walked up to the front door and pulled down the bolt lock. My stomach dropped. The one that was staring at me then immediately came around the counter and shoved me onto the ground. I tried to stay calm and told them to take the money and that I wouldn't stop them. However, the other man walked around the counter and right past the register. They weren't here for the money. He forced zip ties around my hands and lifted me onto my feet. I was completely helpless as they dragged me through the store, and after briefly checking outside, they rushed me out the entrance. It was only as they dragged me toward the side of the building that I noticed an old car sitting in the grass outside the parking lot. As we reached the edge of the parking lot though, a sudden glaring light came over top us. It was a police car pulling into the lot. The three men dropped me on the pavement and sprinted into their car. I don't know if it just was that their car wouldn't start, or they gave up, or what, but the officers were able to get them before they got away. Backup showed up not even 30 seconds later. I guess what happened was earlier in the night, the police got a report of three men in costumes offering kids candy on the sidewalks and trying to lead them away from houses. That's why I kept seeing a patrol car circling the area. What they wanted to do with me, or any of the kids, isn't for sure, as none of the men confessed anything. It almost makes me glad that everything happened the way it did though, because if I'd sold them that candy and heard later on that it was used to kidnap kids with, I probably would have felt a ton of guilt. Thankfully, it didn't have to go that way. It was mid-November. Winter had just started coming in, and snow had already begun covering most of our small town. I lived alone in a very small two-bedroom home that had an unfinished basement. The only time I went down there was to do laundry or get something out of storage. It was a Friday night, and it had been snowing a decent amount during my drive home from work. I had the next 2 days off though, so I was happy to get home and hunker down for the weekend. I got home at 7. I made dinner and watched the new episode of my show, then turned on YouTube in the background as I laid on the couch and scrolled on my phone. The snow must have picked up, as I could hear the wind slamming against the house and making the walls creak. Sometime around 10, I got up to use the restroom, but as I walked down the hallway, I heard something below me. I immediately stopped, hoping to recognize it as just the house creaking, but it wasn't. There was something moving around in the basement. I didn't know how that could be possible. I went over to the basement door and opened it, turning on the lights and walking down to the bottom. There were only a couple hanging light bulbs across the ceiling to light up the large open area. I didn't see much of anything, though. I stood there for a minute, just to see if that sound came again, but after hearing nothing else, I went back upstairs. Given the conditions outside, I figured it had to just be the house moving around. I used the restroom and went back to the couch. However, only a minute later, I heard it again. This time it was more clear. It wasn't a creaking sound. It was subtle thumps, like almost identical to what it would sound like if someone was walking around. I could feel my heart beat faster, but I still felt like there was no way someone could be down there. It just wouldn't be possible. I got up again and went up to the basement door. Now that I was there, I couldn't hear it. I walked down to the bottom. The sound of the wind was loud down there, so I wasn't able to hear anything over the low groan of the house. But on the cement floors, there were shoe prints. They were fresh, too, only showing because of the dusty layer that covered the floor. I was absolutely terrified. I ran back upstairs and grabbed the house phone to dial 911. As I told the operator all the necessary information, there were two very loud thuds from the basement. After that, I sprinted out of the house. A couple officers showed up a reasonable time later, and when they went inside, they didn't find anything aside from the prints on the floor. Strangely, they seemed to lead right up to the bottom of the basement steps and nowhere else. They really didn't know what to tell me, other than to call if anything else happens. I booked a hotel for the next two nights, as I was too uneasy to sleep in my own home. With no signs of a break-in anywhere, it's really hard to say who was in my basement, or even how they got in or out. Part of me thinks it might have not even been a person at all, though I'm still really skeptical. I just hope that whoever or whatever it was doesn't come back. This was way back in 2014. I was in 6th grade and had a small group of friends that I was going trick-or-treating with on Halloween. Now, every time before this, one of our parents always felt the need to tag along, which never let us have the full experience, knowing we were being watched and had to behave. But this year, we were free to do as we please, so we wanted to make the best of it. It was me and my friends Johnny, Colton, and Wes. After school on Halloween Day, we all got into our costumes and met up at Colton's place, then started making our rounds. Honestly, I don't think any of us thought it would take so long to go through Colton's neighborhood. Most of the houses had good stuff, though, even full-sized candy bars at some of them. It was about 8 o'clock when we made it to the other neighborhood. None of us had ever really been there, but it had even bigger houses that we knew had to have the best candy. It was pretty dark out now, and these houses were more covered by trees, so it probably wasn't a good idea to go there. But of course, we still did. We went down the street, stopping at 10 or so houses, when we went up to the last one on the block. This one was noticeably more spread out, further from the other houses, and it looked older, like it was probably there before all the other houses were built around it. Johnny wanted to skip it and turn the corner to the next block, as he thought there was something off about it. But the rest of us didn't listen. We walked up to the porch and rang the doorbell. They had a few carved pumpkins on their doorstep, so we thought they probably had stuff to hand out. But we waited for a good 30 seconds and didn't hear anything inside. so we started to walk off the porch when we suddenly noticed a person by the garage. He was walking toward us. He was an older guy, maybe 50, and he had a big smile.
If you'll wait just a minute, I can get y'all some candy. I just picked up more from the store.
We never saw him pull in though, and he kind of seemed to come out of nowhere. We said it was okay, and that maybe we'll come back around. His smile fell flat as we walked away. All of us felt a little weird after that, so we moved on to the next block. There was something about that guy that was just creepy. All of us felt it too, which made us feel like there might have actually been something wrong with him. We went up to a few more houses though, but it was starting to get really dark out, and we decided to head back to Colton's place to spend the rest of the night there. Instead of going back the way we came, we turned down the next street that was in the direction of the main road. This one only had a couple houses on it, and the rest was just forest. There weren't even many lights on the road. I think all of us were a little uneasy walking down there, as most of us had even stopped talking. Then, out of nowhere, there were footsteps beside us, coming from the trees. That guy came walking up to us. He had that creepy smile again and tried waving at us as he made his way through the brush and trees and onto the road. All of us backed up as he started talking. I didn't even hear what he said before he lunged toward Colton. Somehow he didn't get him, and all of us sprinted away before anything else could happen. We didn't stop running until we got to the main road. We crossed back into Colton's neighborhood and felt way more safe, so we caught our breath and started walking again. The walk back to his place was only 10 minutes, but around halfway there, an old gray sedan with tinted windows started passing by us. The first time we barely noticed, but they circled around two more times, slowing down each time they passed us. We picked up the pace and got back inside Colton's house. None of us really knew what to do after that point. Stupidly, we chose not to tell anyone because we thought they would have never let us out alone anymore. We never saw that guy again though. What he would have done is unknown. I was staying at a cabin for the weekend. It was in a campground an hour from where I lived. Being that I lived in the heart of the city, I always liked to go stay out in the forest for a few days during fall so I could enjoy the nice weather and colorful trees. This wasn't a fancy campground. It was only 10 bucks a night, and the cabins were only 200 square feet, basically one small room with a bed in the middle. The first day I was there, I spent most of my time outside. There were a few small trails I went on. The second day, I sat outside in a lawn chair that was set up behind the cabin. The leaves blowing in the wind was such a nice sound to listen to that I could have sat out there forever. I don't know how long I actually sat out there for, maybe 3 or 4 hours. At some point though, I spotted a person out in the woods. They were far out, like 150 yards from me, and were just standing between the trees, not moving at all. From what I could tell, it looked like he was looking right at me. I wasn't sure though, so I just stayed there and waited for a few minutes. After that, I started getting creeped out, being unable to tell if he was looking at me or not. I went back inside and stayed in until sunset. The wind got louder and more hectic after the sun went down. Inside the cabin, it was really loud, especially with the windows not being properly sealed. The wind was making that high-pitched swooshing sound all night. Normally I wouldn't mind, but I think it made me nervous because I knew I wouldn't be able to hear the leaves crunch if someone was approaching my cabin. Seeing that guy earlier just put me in an uneasy mood. I lit up the fireplace though and sat on the sofa chair, trying to wind myself down for the night. An hour or so passed before there was a sudden knock at the front door. I jumped up from my chair, being fully startled by it. After a few seconds, they knocked again. I could feel my heart racing. It had to be almost 9 p.m. by now, so someone knocking at my cabin in the woods was extremely unsettling. I didn't know if I should say something or stay quiet. I ended up staying quiet, just out of hesitation, but they continued to knock until the knocks became hits. Over and over, it started sounding like they might actually break down the door. Then it stopped. There was a whole long minute of silence as I stood and waited for whatever the hell was going to happen next. Wondering if they left, I moved up to the door as quietly as I could and looked out the peephole. There was nobody outside. I felt a slight bit of relief. I looked for another 30 seconds, just to be sure. Then I backed up and turned to get my phone, only to see a pair of eyes piercing into mine through one of the old windows. As soon as we made eye contact, his head moved out of sight. Then it was quiet again. The wind blowing around made it 100 times more eerie. I got my phone and called the police. I didn't want to risk running out to my car that was parked across the yard, so I stayed inside and waited for the police to show up.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Whoever was outside my cabin must have left, as police made it and found no one. I still don't know what really happened at that cabin, but I've never gone back since.